Season 2 of Love in Context podcast welcomes you. Get ready for engaging, unscripted conversations with your hosts, Ben and Spencer. Our mission remains unchanged: to explore the Bible through the powerful lens of love.
In this new season, we'll embark on a journey together, unearthing fresh insights and gaining deeper understanding of how we can love God and live out our faith in practical ways.
So let's dive into this season of Love in Context, where love and the context of the Bible intersect to transform our lives.
Podcasting.
Podcast is what we do.
Yep.
Yep. Every week. Except sometimes when you try to do that, things don't go according to plan.
Nope.
Like when people are sick.
Uh-huh.
Or when they're recovering from being sick, so nobody is scheduled right.
Uh-huh.
Or in the case of when Pastor Sarah and we were all going to record, and we set a time, and none of us showed up.
We all forgot. Collectively. It was great.
So when that happens, Ben and Spencer find ways to fill the air.
Uh-huh.
And actually, this is actually fortuitous, because you and I were just talking about this very topic around a fire.
We were.
So today's episode of Love in Context is a special one-off episode. Well, it's the second one-off in a row. We're going to be talking about the kingdom of trolls.
Mm-hmm. You mean the things that live under bridges?
That's exactly what I mean. Okay. Yes, that if they come out in sunlight, they will turn into stone.
Uh-huh.
So if anybody is unaware, in modern vernacular, a troll is somebody who makes comments on things either anonymously or online, or they can do it in like an editorial too, like in a newspaper. Mm-hmm. There's other ways to do it. But basically their whole thing is that they come and make snide comments, belittling comments, sarcastic comments, misleading comments.
Mm-hmm.
It's called trolling somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to talk about how in a lot of ways on social media and through the various forms of media, we're starting to, as Christians, become a kingdom of trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, we are taking shots today at every denomination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not the Amish, because they're probably not online trolling people, right?
And you just trolled them.
Yeah. Yeah. On the plus side, they probably won't listen to this episode. Mm-hmm. But we really want to talk about this. It is becoming more and more of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like, in the last couple of weeks, there has been three or four events that have popped up on my newsfeed of something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, immediately wanted to talk about it. It's been coming up a lot in everything we're looking at. And I wanted to address something we've actually talked about in our opening episode, and we've talked about a number of times mm-hmm. through our podcast. But I want to address the subject itself. So, first thing you and I have talked about on our podcast, we will not talk negatively about anybody.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because we're not interested in chipping away at somebody else's faith before God.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not interested in it. We will bring up like theological ideas that we may or may not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
We will push against, I'm going to say demonstrative things, like so things that you do that might be questionable according to Scripture,
yeah.
but we're going to be very careful not to talk about anybody in particular,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to include this episode today.
Mm-hmm.
So most of you are familiar with this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's new to them.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to have more examples than what we like talk about today,
yeah.
but we're going to talk about what does the Bible actually say about living your faith out, and how does being a troll actually violate that?
Yes.
By the way, I was looking at the camera when we were setting up today, and I am taller than Spencer. I am not that much taller than Spencer. My chair might be a little bit taller, and then I'm
slouching. 100%.
Yeah, you're 100% slouching.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we pretty much look the same.
Yeah, I'm lounged back in my chair using the wall here, just enjoying life.
Well, and it's funny that we're doing an episode called The Kingdom of Trolls. So the room that we normally record in, which is the one you normally see us in, is locked today.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of us have a key, and it's almost never locked.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually are recording in a different area. And I was like, you know, that's funny because this actual room we're recording in is actually fairly cold.
Yeah.
Not unlike underneath a bridge where a troll might be.
Yep.
So we went to the location of the trolls to talk about the
mm-hmm.
trolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a couple things just to get on the table right away.
Mm-hmm.
Is One, if you do troll somebody, congratulations, you just increase their viewership.
Right.
Online.
In fact, we've been the lucky recipients of that.
We have been recipients of that a few times. So, so if you're like, oh, well, this needs to be addressed and I need to call this person out, you actually are increasing their viewership.
Yeah.
When you do that, for one thing. The second thing is if you look at it, if you're looking at the idea of correction, mm-hmm. biblically, posting a comment online anonymously saying someone's a heretic is not necessarily the way to go about it.
I would say it's definitely not the way to go about it.
Yeah.
So it definitely violates the idea of Matthew's correction, right? That Jesus gives us in Matthew about how to correct and restore, right? So overall, like let's just talk about the big elephant in the room. In fact, you're probably going to access this material on social media.
Yeah.
Right. I have a love-hate relationship with social media in that I love portions of it and other portions of it just make me, you know, like it infuriates me. Like it just, it drives me crazy. The comment threads on most things happens to be the main portion. But social media is a tool. It is neither good nor evil. The news is a tool. It is neither good nor evil. Television is a tool. It is neither good nor evil. When people use it for good or they use it for evil. So the reality is all of the things that happen, all the negativity that happens isn't because of the device itself. It's because of the reality of people. It's the ugliness of people that is coming out.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be surprising. There's a whole book. I don't know if you guys have read it. It's called The Bible. It's written about this human condition that's pretty broken. And we were originally made good in the garden, but we were like, hey, you know what? I think I can define good and evil better on my own terms. And we've had the last 6,000 plus years to determine that probably wasn't the case, right?
Yeah.
And that when you actually follow what God teaches, when you actually live into God's law, when you actually follow the way of Jesus, which is to lay your life down on behalf of others, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to, in all gentleness, work with the people around you. And if they're not willing to work with you, treat them like tax collectors and sinners.
Which means you still have a meal with them.
Which means you still have a meal with them. That the world actually gets put back together.
Yeah.
That it's actually in our laying our self down that we put things back together.
Yeah.
Right? Or rather, I would argue that Jesus puts things back together.
Yeah. Yeah. And the book of Titus has a lot to say about interactions with people.
On social media? Yeah.
On social media. Well,
Titus was talking about Facebook.
He was. He was 100% talking about Facebook to put this in poor context. So the book of Titus has a lot to say about interactions with people, especially people you don't disagree with. And one of the passages I've heard people use to perform like this corrective teaching of like, I have to speak this out loud for the world to hear that this is wrong, is actually Titus 3:10, where it says, if people are causing divisions among you, give them a first warning, a second warning. After that, have nothing to do with them.
That actually came up in our Women in Ministry.
It did.
Miniseries.
Yeah, it did. The problem with that is this is that verse right there is written in the context of do good.
Right.
Of be loving, do good.
Right.
Reach the people around you. Welcome those into your homes. Right. The very first chapter of Titus, he talks about how you need to be welcoming to people into your homes, how you need to be hospitable, loving, caring. And so when you were looking at this causing divisions among you, that have nothing to do with them doesn't actually mean don't ever talk to them again, right? It just means that maybe they're not going to be your close circle, or maybe they're not going to be someone you're going to be taking advice from.
Right.
Right? And so we want to put that verse in its context. I want to put that one in its context because oftentimes we will take verses like this, rip them out of context, and be like, well, I need to correct this teaching that this person said.
Right. So speaking of that, I'm actually going to reference a video, and don't Google it because there's no point in this. But I saw a video, it was about context. John Bevere was talking about the book of Romans. And he was just talking about understanding how Roman women existed in culture and and the way that the family unit was comprised and all these things when you're starting to read the text of Romans, which is by the way, the correct way to start interpreting scripture. Mm-hmm. And somebody had done what's called a stitch. A mm-hmm. stitch is where you have the video and then there are like faces underneath and then they're responding to the video in real time, mm-hmm. right? And one of the things that they had stopped, they said, you don't need to know the context of the Bible when it's written plainly. And I was talking to my wife about that, and she says, that's just a reminder that everybody is allowed to have a social media platform, but not everybody should.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you understand, after being with us for 1.5 seasons, and hopefully being a Christian or following different people, that context is a lot more important. And a lot of times when you think you know what it means, you actually don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a lot of the problems that we have run into consistently in the church,
mm-hmm.
is people, they're like, oh, I know what this means. And so then they go and they enforce it without actually without actually placing it into the heart of the Bible and what the Bible was actually talking about.
Yeah.
Right? How many times did we see that in Torah?
Twice, I think.
Yeah, twice. Twice. I was like, I thought you were being serious for a minute. I was like, oh, twice? No. Come on. I was like, we're going to have to cut. And I'm going to have to be like, come on, Spencer. Give me some real numbers here. But, you know, all throughout the Torah series, there's a lot of instructions that were given. And if you don't understand what the other cultures around them were instructing, mm-hmm. Leviticus is going to be a really weird book.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what's going on around them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Exodus is going to be a really weird book, especially like the plagues and all the things that are going on, if you don't understand Egyptian culture.
Yeah.
And so context absolutely matters. There are some things that are pretty plain, and the context doesn't change it.
Mm-hmm.
It enriches it.
Well, and that's the beauty of Scripture. There are things that are plain, easy to see, and then as you get to know the context, you realize how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, let's pick on Roman culture for a little bit.
Yeah.
Taking the time to understand Roman culture is going to bring a lot of the imagery that Paul writes
right.
to life.
Right.
Like the armor of God.
Yeah. And in fact, by the way, before you get into this, Brad Gray, Walking the Text, they have an IBC class that they do every year where they have a bunch of people come and talk. A few years ago, they did one on Paul and his Roman world.
Mm-hmm.
That is invaluable to you. Go check it out at walkingthetext.com. I think you can still order digital classes of it, and it's very good. Yeah. So continue on the armor.
So, but when you actually understand the context of the Roman soldier, because that was the predominant armor, it was a symbol. It stood out, right?
Yeah.
If you walked into a town, you could tell who was a Roman soldier and who was not.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the Roman soldiers lined up to go to battle, they knew it was going to be a tough fight.
Right.
Right? Because Rome was just so dominant in its day. So, like, when you actually take the time to understand some of just the little contextual pieces, it brings the writing to life.
Well, let's take one piece there. Because what we're responding to is this idea that context doesn't matter in the John Bevere. This is someone, by the way, trolling his video.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Talking about how he doesn't know what he's talking about, specifically attacking him directly over something that, now I actually don't agree with John Bevere on everything, but John Bevere has some really good content and he's helped a lot of people.
So one piece of the armor of God to pick on, let's just take the shield of faith.
Yeah, the shield of faith.
Right?
So is the shield for me or is it for the person standing next to me?
Mm-hmm. It is for both.
Yeah.
It's for both. And you even look into the context of how Roman shields were designed. A lot mm-hmm. of the shields that the infantry carried had a curve to them.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that it was less likely an arrow or a spear would stick through it, and more likely it would just bounce off.
And specifically when they are opposing mm-hmm. the hordes or different people that mm-hmm. are coming in, the front line is actually supposed to have these shields, and the shields are meant to interlock.
Yep.
And then the people behind them are actually the ones who are attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's hence why they have like the spear and those type of things.
Yeah. And the shield was also, like, to tag onto that, it was just as much for offense as it was for defense.
Correct.
If you, I believe this is correct. I might need to do a little more digging on this, but if you actually were a Roman soldier and you left your shield, it was punishable by death.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll want to fact check that, but that sounds like something the Romans would do.
Yeah, it was from my understanding. And, like, this was something I heard someone say one time. I haven't actually dug into it.
If anybody fact checks on that, just send us an email and we'll bring it up.
If I'm wrong, I'll apologize.
Yeah.
But the from what he was saying was that like it was considered a neglected duty.
Yeah.
And if and which was punishable by death.
Well, and so you have this idea that the shield says that you may extinguish the arrows of the enemy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in the context of building a phalanx, mm-hmm. Like a completely concealable dome, mm-hmm. right, in Roman warfare, like you actually build a complete shield around you. So when the volleys of arrows come, like because they come in volleys, they don't come as necessarily individual arrows. Mm-hmm. When the volleys come, you're actually protecting you and everybody else around you with your shield of faith. It's built around this idea of community and togetherness. Mm-hmm. Like, is this whole idea. So pulling that out and understanding that context, then you get to something like the sword of the spirit, and you actually understand that in a Roman arsenal, the sword that they're talking about isn't an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon, and mm-hmm. it's meant to, when things come through the shield, to cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's actually meant for close quarters for defense, not mm-hmm. for offense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that changes that idea a little bit because we often, I think, take this idea of the armor of God. We're like, well, we're going to go to war for mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Except what Paul says is you're going to take on the full armor of God so that you can stand
firm.
Mm-hmm. Because the battle doesn't belong to us.
Yeah.
Battle belongs to God.
Mm-hmm. Another contextual example going along with the sword is in Hebrews, where Hebrews 4:12, where it's talking about how it's like a double-edged sword can cut through joint and marrow,
mm-hmm.
right? The word of God is. The context of that, though, is rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you read the verses before, and it's all about resting in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've taken that verse and been like, oh, I'm going to war. And I was like, actually, the context is for you to do some self-dissection.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in the Lord and let the word of God penetrate your heart, remove the evil and replace it with good.
Yeah.
Right. It's not for you to beat down your enemy with.
Yeah. So coming back to the troll of that video, right?
Mm-hmm.
The trolling of that video, what you have is you have, people who make comments about videos and, stories that get shared that are, meant to discredit, mm-hmm. Be disreputable, talk bad, any of these different things in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this the other day. I don't believe that the crusading spirit has ever left the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they went from killing people to skewering their reputation and their online presence mm-hmm. and in different ways. But the crusading spirit, which is that you go my way or else I'll destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think like me, I'll destroy you mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus.
Well, there's an allure to so there's a type of Christianity where it's like everything's black and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an allure to that because it has clear-cut lines.
Yeah.
We as humans, we like that. The problem is the more you dive into Scripture, the more you realize it's not very black and white. There's a lot of gray areas.
Correct.
And there's a lot
of... And learning to exist in that tension...
Is tough.
Is actually the call of Jesus and the call of like following God. Because he doesn't call you to live on the coastline.
No.
Or in the mountains. He calls you to live in the Shephelah, right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Talking about the geography of Israel, by the way, if anybody was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
God calls his people to live in the middle. Don't retreat to the mountains. Don't go live with the people who don't follow him at all mm-hmm. on the coastline, but live right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. So we got to understand these things.
There is a tension to being a follower. But if you're ever completely resolute in like, because you said there's an allure. Like, there's mm-hmm. this allure is that I'm right and you're wrong, and my job is to correct you, to beat you into submission until you fall in line,
mm-hmm.
right? There is an appeal to that because it's something I can accomplish.
Yeah.
You might say that it's cisterns that I create, to quote from the Psalms, as opposed to the living waters that God creates.
Yeah.
Right? And I, the cisterns aren't near as nice, the ones I create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this idea where you're going to go and you're going to conquer the people around you. The problem is Jesus is repeatedly talking to us about the tension. He says, I am sending you like sheep among wolves.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. To live your life, you have to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be first, you have to be last. Those of you that are the greatest will serve.
Mm-hmm.
the children are the greatest in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
There is, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. There's a lot of these statements that show up all throughout Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so I think the tendency when people hear, oh, we're going to live in the gray, means that you're not holding to biblical truth. I said, no, it's you're holding deeper to biblical truth.
Mm-hmm. You're willing to wrestle.
We're willing to wrestle.
Right. Right. There's lots of parts of Scripture where it takes a while to dissect, and you have to wrestle with it. Right? I think the problem is a lot of times we want to wrestle so we can get to that right or wrong answer.
Correct.
And sometimes it's like, sometimes that right or wrong answer doesn't come. Like there's parts of Scripture for me that just still have a ton of tension. And like, would I love for there to be resolution to it? Absolutely, but there's not.
Yeah, there is and to your point, where like resolution, is it sin to eat meat or not eat meat?
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice to idols. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It depends on your perspective and your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, by the way, if you're listening here and you're like, man, that makes it really difficult. I was like, there are some very clear things that God talks about. Mm-hmm. You know, by the way, there's 10 of them in the book of Exodus that he makes very clear, right?
Yeah.
He says, you're not going to hurt each other. You're not going to lie about each other. You're going to be honest with each other. But more specifically on what not to do, there's much more focus on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the writings of Paul, where he's very speaking to a Greek mindset, and he's like, put off this, and put this on, and you won't gratify.
Yeah.
Put this on. That's the whole point where we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what this episode is interrupting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so coming back to the trolls,
yeah,
it can be what I have experienced from trolls is that when they do their thing, is it mostly is self gratifying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, was that actually of the Lord? Because there have been times where I've seen people troll somebody, and I've been like, the troll made a good point. Like I've seen those too, right? But the point is, how do we go about this correction when we need to? And there's a couple things I want to interject on that. So Pastor Sarah has said one thing on the podcast that is just really good, where you can't correct without connection.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of the theological reels I see on Instagram, I don't have any personal connection with those people.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So it would be more beneficial for me to be like, hey, why don't I take you out to dinner or contact them and be like, hey, I had some questions about the content you posted and I would love to just talk to you more on it, you know, and try to get a better context and understanding of where they were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem is oftentimes we're seeing like bits of sermons.
Oh, sure.
Right now. And so we'll take a bit of a sermon, rip it out of the context of the rest of the sermon and be like, oh, this person's a complete heretic.
Right.
Which is like,
this is something I see on a pretty frequent basis.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, maybe, maybe not. Like, right? There's a whole sermon that was just preached there. Maybe go listen to that whole sermon.
Yeah. You were telling me about your friend as a pastor that she had a congregant who did not like a particular teacher.
Uh huh.
And what was her response to having a conversation about it?
Go listen to 20 of his sermons.
And then let's talk.
And then let's talk.
Like, generally, that's a pretty good suggestion.
Uh-huh.
Like,
she was nice. She said it nicer than that.
Oh, I'm sure. Like we are definitely way meaner than most people. So maybe meaner.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that's before you're going to criticize somebody or you're going to have conversations about them, you should actually be familiar with who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then honestly, then you should probably just take a pause and maybe learn how to pray for them and not just stand around and be critical of.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Pastor Clint and Pastor Nick from our church, their conversation piece about the way they deal with complaints about different things that are going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if somebody comes and they have something that they want to talk about with the church, they said, that's great. We want you to pray about it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then I want you to bring three solutions, all of which you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which is great.
And then shockingly, the number of complaints is down to, you know, and there's still issues, right?
Well, not only that, but the number of people who would just step up and be like, hey, I'm going to take care of this.
Yeah.
Has gone up too.
Right.
Right.
You're empowering people to actually step in and actually do something too.
Yeah.
You know, if they see an issue. Mm-hmm. So the issue that I am going to address the accounts that are built around attacking other accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would be okay if those all closed down.
Mm-hmm.
I would be completely okay. Like generally, I don't want to talk like bad about any of them. But if your account is literally just devoted to finding every person else who does something else wrong, and that's your content,
mm-hmm.
it's probably time to pack it up and go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, once again, this is just another guy with a mic stating his opinion on mm-hmm. camera. I feel like it's a biblical one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can defend that pretty strongly from a biblical perspective, that if your main goal is just to talk about how everybody else is wrong, you're representing something and it's not the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the kingdom of trolls.
Yeah. Well, scripture talks about that to work hard to avoid divisive talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Titus like, talks about warning people, but there's another spot where it talks about like, hey, like we don't need to have meaningless quarrels.
Right.
About whatnot, right? About whether or not you should have Starbucks coffee served at your church.
Correct.
Right? Like we don't need the meaningless quarrels about that. In Acts, the disciples were faced with one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were some food disputes going about. They're like, oh, well, Jewish believers are getting more food rations than Gentile believers, and like legitimate things. And they were like, okay, let's appoint people to deal with this, and because we need to not be distracted from preaching the gospel.
Correct. And I'm going to give you a quick correction mm-hmm. here so nobody types to us. It was Hellenistic Jews versus Orthodox Jews.
Okay.
The widows specifically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so just if you ever have followed us, Hellenistic are the people who wouldn't necessarily have been the most devout.
Yeah.
Right? But they are of the mm-hmm. same nationality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So it's one of those things like let's keep the main thing.
Right.
And
you sound like Brian Qualls.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep the main thing.
And let's also set aside the meaningless arguments, right?
So let's talk about the kinds of content we've seen. So we've seen the ones where people stitch and they talk about why somebody is wrong piece by piece,
mm-hmm.
right? We have seen that is, by the way, not the same as somebody who respond to questions. Like somebody asks a question and they just answer it,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not the same as that.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen the people who just go out of their way and all they do is attack other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that comes up, and this was the last episode or episode before where Pastor Brian was on,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about the Super Bowl commercial, right? Mm-hmm. Is where there's an event that happens, mm-hmm. and there is an uproar and a swell of comments and videos and responses, and that are just like rapidly distributed out of a specific event. Right.
Yeah.
This pastor was spotted with a $500 sweater,
mm-hmm.
right? Or a $300 pair of sneakers.
Okay.
Okay. This type of event, or this church hosted this person who did this thing, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of like those types of videos. What I find in most of those is people's responses, they make a lot of comments. And if you actually go back and look at the base content of what actually mm-hmm. happened,
yeah,
it has morphed drastically from its original thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made it this massive thing that we're like, every Christian needs to be in uproar about this because apparently the way that we show Jesus is by yelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've heard me say this too, but if you're given a platform to proclaim Christ, you mm-hmm. will speak heresy at some point.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
There's not many guarantees in life, but if you have a mic and you're proclaiming Christ, this is a guarantee.
Yeah.
You will speak heresy at some point.
Yeah.
And so can we have a little more grace with each other?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was the video on the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's some good intentions there,
mm-hmm.
right? Also, but if you're going to post a video for how many million people to see?
You're opening yourself up for criticism too.
Yeah, you're opening yourself up for criticism, right?
Yeah.
And then a lot of times there's these bigger churches that often get criticized too, and it's like, well, I was like, but they've also made some made themselves very public.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the more public you're going to make yourself, the more criticism you're going to get.
Yeah, I actually even find now with us having more listeners than we've had in the past, like, we have more people, I don't want to say take odds with our opinion,
yeah,
but have questions about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, even to the point where when they're coming, like, where they would come on the podcast, they're like, are we going to talk about this? And I was like, dude, we're going to try to do whatever we can to have a civil, loving conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because our intention with the podcast is for Christians to have real conversations about how to live out our faith,
mm-hmm.
not for us to have, like, well, this is right and this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. And just a call to those who are teaching,
mm-hmm.
who are proclaiming as teachers, right? James talks about, says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should want to become teachers in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's a valuable position, mm-hmm. but James is also like, this isn't something that, this is something that most of you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he goes on to say, for we who teach will be judged more strictly.
Yeah. Well, that's that whole double-edged sword thing, right? Mm-hmm. Self-reflection, but it cuts both ways.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes on again to say, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. And if we could control ourselves, and we would be perfect, and we'd be able to control ourselves in every other way.
I think there's this upside down pyramid too. Is like, mm-hmm. as you want to grow as a teacher, as a minister, as a mm-hmm. follower of Christ, then your grace has to increase.
Yeah,
and your patience has to increase.
Uh huh.
And your love has to increase.
Yeah.
Right. If you want to grow as a teacher, you need to learn to love better.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be more gracious.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn how to be patient with people as they learn.
Yeah.
The best teachers I've ever had, they will not put up with you, like, not learning,
mm-hmm.
but they'll be patient with you as long as you're working at it.
Yeah.
Right? And they'll come alongside you. They'll come up with different, like, methods and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anybody who has gotten better at something by being yelled at,
mm-hmm.
or chastised or harassed. There is a time for discipline. Okay, actually, let's take a step back because I want to actually get into this. My son is 5.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to school. He goes to Sunday school. He goes to his aunt and uncle's house. And all of them have a modicum of authority over him,
mm-hmm.
right? They're all teaching him in some capacity, right? When it comes time to discipline or redirect my child, that is not their job.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not get to make those calls.
Mm-hmm.
That is my call, and that is my wife's call.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we make that decision together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's how I am as a parent, because I believe that's how you are as a parent too,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, when you're correcting a behavioral thing,
mm-hmm.
unless it's something that you've told, like, a teacher, you're like, hey, if they do this, then make sure they do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to go in and I'm actually going to bring discipline in order to correct my child and raise them in the way that they should go, I am the one who brings discipline, not you. Right? Now, I hear somebody out there, you know, what if somebody's watching your kid and blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're not talking about hypotheticals here. Like, generally speaking, I'm the one responsible for making sure my children are being disciplined and being raised correctly.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm allowing the school to do that, and I'm allowing the Sunday school to do that, or I'm allowing the church to do that, I'm failing in my responsibility as a parent. It's my job to make sure that when my kids go off the rails, to bring them back. Now, if that is my job as a human parent, whose job is it to make sure that when Christians go off the rails, they get pulled back?
It's Christ.
Yeah, it's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Father's job to do that. And I wonder if sometimes when I watch these things, I often think in the demonstrative things where they tear people apart, the reason they do that is because they're trying to make these people not Christians.
I wouldn't say necessarily that they're wanting them to not be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that they're wanting them to think like they do.
Yeah.
And because I think it's so situational, because, I mean, there are some
right.
people who correct who are really harsh.
Correct.
Right? And there are some people who provide quote-unquote correction who aren't. who aren't as harsh and talk about how they want to see redemptive work happen in this person's life and so on and so forth, right?
Right.
Right. So like, I think there's a bit more of an individualized context that comes into play.
Yeah.
With it. But with that said.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I was, my thought was specifically centering on this idea of like, do we trust the Holy Spirit to do his work or not?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And what my personal experience. Okay. So this is my personal experience, understanding that I'm only 37 and I have my limited life that I've lived in the churches that I've lived in. Mm-hmm. Right. Is that most of us don't trust the Holy Spirit to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
We try to do it for him
rather
than partnering with him.
And can we just say, can we just talk about how freeing it is just to trust the Spirit to do his work?
Freeing and terrifying.
Right? It's like when we take on the responsibility of the Holy Spirit, like one, that's just a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do that. Okay. And if you're like, well, why shouldn't I do that? That could be in 2 more hours of conversation.
At least.
just don't do it. And then so that's one thing is like, but when we take that on, it's really, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, my opinion's better than God's.
Right.
My way of thinking's better than God's. And then we really start to go down a slippery slope. And then we start to say, well, if we want to look like God, we have to look like this, which it looks like exactly how my life is, which...
Yeah,
I'm going to be real. When people do that in my life or try to do that with my wife and I, we're like, hey, we're having none of it.
Yeah.
We would still love to have you over for dinner. Love to have you come. It's summertime. It's getting spring, summertime. Love to have you over for fires.
And stuff hot like dogs that. And mangoes.
Uh-huh. All the good stuff. And stuff like that. But I was like, but we're going to be very clear and say, you actually don't have authority to speak into our lives.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it is one of the things that is very. I want to get away from the negativity of trolling and actually talk about some proactive things you could do. When you hear a story about something going on, learn actually what happened, like really what happened. And if you're tempted to make a video, stop and wait for a while before you make a video.
Yeah.
If somebody needs you to comment on something right away, it's probably not something you should be commenting on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless it's specifically something under your authority,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you're the pastor of a church and something happened at your church, then you should respond right away.
Yeah. And there's also a level of, if you think you're having an impact by doing this, you probably have a greater impact by building a few great relationships with people who need Jesus in your community.
Yeah.
Right. And bringing Jesus to them. Because as much as social media and stuff is great, it does not, even if you're doing face-to-face video calls with people, it does not replace that personal face-to-face interaction.
And it can be very difficult because on the flip side of this, we've been talking through the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, if you love God and love other people, if you learn to hear the voice of God, if you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, right? Well, sometimes you're actually going to get prophetic message for people.
Yeah.
Like God's going to use you to speak into other people's lives. The issue that I think is happening with trolldom is that the first three things aren't there, right? You don't have love God and love other people in line, right? You don't have learning to hear the voice of God clearly through the word of God and through experientially like time with God, right? And you don't clearly exhibit the fruit of the Spirit before you speak into a situation.
Mm-hmm.
That is not to say that if you have those in line, you should automatically speak into a situation. You should seek God and see what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then with fear and trembling and with all humility, walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that is, I think, probably the best piece that I could think of about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I think one of the things I've heard quite regularly when it comes to trolldom is...
I love the word trolldom, by the way. Yeah.
Trolldom, is that, oh, well, God doesn't bless sinners. And I'm like, and so I want to push back on that. Now, hear me out on this. God does not like sin.
Correct.
Right. Hear me out on that. Okay. But the whole basis of Scripture is built so that we sinners can be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We see that when God calls Abram.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I am going to bless you, make you into a great nation.
Right.
You see that, and then you see we're grafted into this story of blessing
mm-hmm.
through the work of Jesus on the cross.
So that we can be a blessing
uh-huh.
to all the nations.
So when someone's like, well, God doesn't bless sinners, it's like actually the whole basis of Scripture is built around God blessing sinners.
Yeah, I think you may want to just, God doesn't bless sin.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely blesses sinners because that's the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to die for us when we didn't deserve it.
Yeah, but we often commingle sin and sinner.
Yeah.
Right? Like let's take a little bit of time, separate those out. Like, right? Like there's sin, and if we are perpetually living in sin, right? Like willingly choosing to mm-hmm. do sinful acts, that's one thing,
mm-hmm.
right? But then we, by nature, by default, are sinners, and it's through the work of Christ that we're redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
So God doesn't bless sin, but he is here to bless sinners.
Right. In fact, our whole existence is actually built around mm-hmm. reaching those that are not yet a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I was just 20 seconds ago was talking about the gospel is that Jesus came to die for us when we didn't deserve it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, reminder is this kingdom idea is that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, we now have access to it,
yeah.
Which, by the way, is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Huge blessing.
Huge blessing.
Yeah.
And as we carry that kingdom into the world and we bring heaven to earth, we bring blessing wherever we go,
yeah.
And it is for the people that are not yet a part of us
yeah.
to come and be a part of this kingdom and this heaven that is now accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So a couple things that we will not do.
Mm-hmm.
If you write comments, stitch our videos, have fun. All you're doing is increasing our viewership. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. we're not going to respond to them. If you have legitimate questions, absolutely email them in. You can even stitch us with legitimate questions,
mm-hmm.
and we'll try to respond.
Mm-hmm.
I say try because we both work full-time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's better to send us a question in the Q&A form. We, by the way, have gotten a number of comments, and I love it when people leave comments. It always makes me happy
mm-hmm.
On our videos and stuff. And so it's good to know that you're getting something from the videos.
Mm-hmm.
In everything here is this. Don't live your life on social media, and don't get sucked into trolldom.
Mm-hmm.
Live your life for Jesus. And live at peace with those around you,
mm-hmm.
if it's yep. up to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until next time.
Next time.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope you enjoyed this engaging conversation and gained valuable insights into the powerful message of love within the Bible.
We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Connect with us by sending us your questions, thoughts, and suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. We greatly appreciate your feedback and ideas for future episodes.
Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Don't forget to hit that follow button to stay up to date with the latest episodes and join our growing community.
Thank you for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in the context of today's world.